Welcome to the Inspire Church podcast. We hope this message will equip and empower you to reach your God-given potential. Inspire Church is all about loving God, loving people, and inspiring our world. Visit inspirechurch.com.au for more information.
Who's ever had stuff happen to you? Someone did something to you, someone in the traffic cut you off, they waved in an inappropriate way, and or something happened at work in a relationship, something happened at home, something happened financially, and we know that stuff happens. But on the other hand, and it's just natural, stuff happens, that things happen, because it's life, it's the life we live in. But sometimes things happen in a reoccurring manner, and you think, what is going on? What in the heck is going on? Keep losing my job. Finances are not going where they should be. Relationships, man, are just constant tension. Work's always kind of up and down. And you just kind of think, what is going on? Well, the common denominator could be you. But another thing it could be is this. Even though we live in a natural, tangible, feelable world, there is another world called the spiritual world. We need to understand today, and as we look in the Word of God and as I've gone through my own life's journey, I understand this very clearly, that I am a spirit, I possess a soul, and I live in a body. What are you? You are a spirit, you possess a soul, and you live in a body. Isn't it amazing how we are so body conscious? You know, I got up this morning, had a shower and had a shave and did my hair and all that kind of stuff because I wanted to be really good looking for you. I looked at my clothes, ironed my clothes, looked at my shoes and said, they're good enough. Because it's good to be body conscious. And I think it's good to look after this body that God's given to us. It's our vehicle, it's our carrier that carries our soul and our spirit around. Now listen, when you get born again, your spirit is born again. Your soul is renewed and your body begins to carry out the activities of a born again Christian. Now, someone has said, and I believe it's true, but we live in such a materialistic world where we try to gather around our stuff and we like to see the tangible. But the fact remains is that the spiritual realm is just as real as the physical world. The physical world is just as real as the spiritual world. The spiritual world is just as real as the physical world. We are spiritual beings. Some of you have become dry beans. But God has made you living beings. Not beans, beings. I'm not against presenting wealth. I believe it's important. God looks at the heart, but man looks at... So God looks at the heart, man looks at the outer. And you might say, well, that's good. But just remember this, man still looks at the outer. God looks at the heart. So present yourself the best you can and look after this thing. Because one day this shell, this body, will fall off. And when you get to heaven, you get a new body. Oh, I'm waiting for a new body. Man, it's going to have some muscle. It's going to have something good about it. It's going to be tall. It's going to be dark. It's going to be handsome. But in the meantime, so if that is true, that his outer body passes away and our spirit and soul go to heaven and then we get a glorified body. Oh, I can't get over that glorified body. Oh, Jesus, give me a look at it, please. So why don't we spend much more time on that which will go into eternity? Now is here. Eternity is unmeasurable. Oh, I wish I could get a picture of myself that'll help me live even closer to God. I just wish each one of us could get a picture of what eternity looks like in the space that we have. And while we're here on this earth, God gives us opportunity to tune our spirit, to get our spirits right with God, that we can live with God and that we can allow the perfection of God to work within our life. Or let me put another word. Perfection's a bit of a hard word, but the wholeness of God to work within our life. You are a spirit. It's funny, sometimes I'll say to people, you come to church tonight? Nah. But I'll send my spirit. How dumb is that? I'll be there in spirit. Some people are brain idiots. I know what we're saying, well, we send our regards and all that kind of stuff, but it'd be just like me seeing a car drive down the road without a driver and you say, that's my spirit driving the car. You know, it's our bodies are the encasement of our spirit and soul. And I just believe today that the Holy Spirit wants to do something within our lives that we can get a greater awareness. And I mentioned a few things then just to shock you. It's not my usual language. But I just want to encourage us today that as we leave this place, that we'll go with a greater awareness that, man, thank God for the physical realm. Thank God for our food. Thank God for our clothing. Thank God for what we do. But there's something greater going on in your life, in the atmospheres of your life, that will bless you now and enhance you now, and will carry through into eternity. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I used to get that a little bit wrong because I used to think I've got to be strong for God. But it's not, it's strong in your relationship. You know, when you got sometimes you just got a strong relationship with someone, you're just close. That's what it's speaking about. It's not talking about you being strong for God. It's talking about you being strong in God. So be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Because when you become strong in God and there's a relationship, there's a transaction that happens where we swap the lesser for the greater. So he takes our lesser and gives us his greater. And there's something happens as we have that divine connection with God. That's why we can even say that when we're weak, when we feel that, man, we're not equal, that's when we can say, let the weak say they are strong, because we're relying on God and he's going to impart into our life the strength that we need to do what we need to do. So be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Then it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to, come on, stand against the wiles of the devil. It should be up on the screen. The wiles of the devil are the schemes of the devil. Who knows? Oh, you probably know them. You know some schemers, don't you? You're talking to them and say, oh, what's really going on here? You know, and that's what the devil does. He's talking to you, but what's really going on here? You know, and he's a trickster. He's a trickster. He'll make it all sound so good. But when you back off for a while, you just think, oh man, that was a deception. You know, the worst thing about deception is you don't know about it. So it's so important that you stay close to God and stay in the Word of God and stay in the main flow of fellowship. So deception does not become part of our lifestyle or who we are. And we're more aware of the schemes, the wiles of the devil. Now, I don't want to suggest today that we are to be walk around paranoid and think, oh boy, am I going to be deceived? No, don't think that and don't live that lifestyle. We live a lifestyle in the light. We live in the light. We're not hiding things. We're in fellowship. We're in the Word of God. We're listening to others. If you position yourself right, you'll be right. And it says to withstand against the wiles of the devil. Now, here's the verse I really want us to put our attention against or on, for it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So your problem's not with your boss. Well, it might be. But you can work through that. Maybe the whole problem's not with your wife or your husband or with your children. And because he says, even though something's happening here, there's something else happening out here. And he says, we do not wrestle against, give it to me, flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So there is Satan. And just let me pause for 2 seconds and tell you that Satan, Lucifer, used to be the shining cherub, the shining star, the shining angel in heaven. But pride entered in his heart and he was thrown down. And a third of the angels went with him. So Satan is anti-God. And the angels, the evil spirits that went with him, are anti-God. And if they're anti-God, guess who else they're anti? Devil doesn't like you. He dislikes you. Don't let that worry you, because that's a good thing. I don't like people disliking me, but I don't mind him not liking me. I don't want him kind of cohabiting with me. I don't want to make space in my life for him. And then you've got these kind of demonic forces that are around. And again, don't get paranoid. If you belong to Jesus and you're walking in the light, you are covered by the blood of Jesus. Some people are like, oh, the devil's going to get me. No, he's not. Don't spook yourself. Oh, I get amazed that some people, the devil, man, the devil here, the devil out, the devil made me do it. Oh, come on, not right thinking. Not right thinking. You know, walk past the telegraph pole. The devil's in the telegraph pole. I've been through it all. Don't glorify the devil. Glorify Jesus. Greater is he that's within us than he that is in the world. And he says our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Such a big basket of evil. So I'm starting a new series today, and I'm going to be unfolding it. We're going to be unfolding it over the next few weeks, talking about spiritual warfare. This was not in my mind just this week. It just came rushing into my spirit. Teach the people about spiritual warfare. Teach the people that there's more happening in your world than what appears just to be happening. And we need to be intentional about our life that we live for God. We got to understand that there is an enemy. Don't be focused on him, but be aware that he has schemes that are trying to derail your destiny. It's interesting in the Bible that God refers to us in different ways. Like if you look in Psalms, he refers to us as sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So he refers to us as sheep. So what does sheep do? Okay, sheep flock together. So we do that. We feed together. It's, you know, the sheep typify humanity where, you know, some can get lost, some can go astray, but the sheep is kind of one of those animals that kind of, as God sees, that there's something similar about them than to us. And I'm not saying that we are like them, but something similar. So it's a type. Also, he refers to us as eagles, not sea eagles. They're just called seagulls or rats of the sea. But an eagle is one that flies high, getting above. And God speaks to us and says, come on, you can be like an eagle. You do not have to be earthbound. You don't have to be under everything in life. Even though you may be under it today, you don't have to stay there. You can wait on the Lord and rise up and wings as eagles. You can walk and not be weary. You can run and not faint. You know, God has got good things for us as we understand what he has for us. And the next one is an athlete. It's amazing what a runner will do. Run and I watched Forrest Gump a few weeks ago. That is such a good movie. I ran and I ran and I ran. 3.5 years I ran and I ran. Then one day I just decided I'd stop. Well, life's a box of chocolates, isn't it? You know, I just loved it. Brought back all the memories. But the, you know, that they train and they have focus. They're doing it for a purpose. So as you look at these kind of things, God is saying, hey, we're like sheep. We can be like an eagle. We can be like an athlete. Or in another place, God speaks to us as the church, as the bride of Christ. And that he's preparing a bride. That when he comes again, there can be this marriage between Christ and his church. And a celebration of the marriage of Christ and his church. I just believe they're great symbols and great pictures that we can have. And he's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. Oh, isn't that good today? He's not coming to a church that's worn out, where people aren't interested. No, he's coming back for a church that's vibrant, that's full of life. And he begins, you know, to paint pictures of what he's looking for. Also in the Bible, it speaks about that God sees his people as an army. They're in formation and they're going to battle. Also, he talks about the church as individuals being soldiers fighting in a war. Some people are enlisted to go to war, men and women. Some people volunteer to go to war, men and women. And God says, hey, you're an army, you're a soldier. So for the next few moments, I want to speak to the soldier in you. Wrong hand. I want to talk to the soldier. I don't want to talk to the sheep. I want to talk to the soldier in you. Soldier in you. Not soldier on with Codrill, but the soldier in you. I did a bit of research and I just thought soldiers. So I got on Google, it always tells you the truth, and I looked on the military career website. What would make you a good soldier? And then it lists a few categories. And I just thought they were interesting. You can look it up yourself, but here it is. A soldier, you've got to be or you want to be confident. Each one of us does a little bit better in life with confidence. To be honest with you, over life, I've grappled with confidence. I know when I've got it. I know when I haven't got it. I am just so much better with confidence. It makes up for your lack and your weaknesses and things where you're not 100% on. But man, with confidence, you can go a bit better. So as a soldier, that needs to be that confidence that's growing within you. The other one is self-discipline. If you want to be a soldier, be self-disciplined or want to be self-disciplined. Hear it, self-disciplined. Others can discipline you, but be self-disciplined. That is, that I can get up at the same time every day. Go to bed, get up, I can exercise, I can study, I can read, I can look after my kids, my wife can look after me. It's all those kind of things. You know, self-discipline. Self-discipline. The other one, number three, is for a soldier that they're willing to give up everything for the country. Man, that's a big ask. Cole Watico on the front line here, been in the military for how long? 42 years. And I know he's been all around the world, being Peace Force, you know, and been in military action. But give up everything for the country. Doesn't that sound like a Christian? Where Jesus calls out the soldier within you to show initiative. That you're just not sitting there waiting for something happening. You're making things happen because you've got initiative. You're kind of working on things. And the other one is, number five, can work in a team and as a team. You can be a team member, in a team, as a team. Quick reactions. Man, you need that as a soldier. Just imagine, who's the people that tell people to fire the guns? What are they? Okay, so the observer, everyone's lined up. Soldiers have got their guns. And the guy says, fire! What did he say? They talk about quick reaction, quick responders. They're trained to do that. And I just believe the Holy Spirit wants to work on us as he calls out the soldier, that we're quick responders. And I'll do it later. Now, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, yeah, there may be a kind of a bit of a timing in it, but the answer should be, yes, Lord. And don't be too slow to do. Because if you say yes and then delay, you think you've done it, because in you saying yes, you think you've done it. How do I know that? Ask my wife. John, take out the rubbish. Yep, I'll do that. She asked me next morning, do you take out the rubbish? I said, yes, I would, but no, I didn't. I thought I did, but I didn't. So you just got to watch your yes, that you follow through with the action. That's good. Okay. Okay, the other one is physically fit. Number 8 is ability to take orders. Oh, wow. Ability to be under authority. And you might say, that's okay for you, John. You're the boss. You don't take orders. Hey, I do take orders. I am authority. If you want to be a man of authority, you've got to be under authority. I just want to be, do what I like. No. I'm under God's authority. I'm under people's authority. I submit to those who have the rule over me. Why? Because it's God's order. And as a soldier, you understand that. It's not to restrict your life. It's to give definition to your life. It's to give strength to your life. Now, as we saw all that list of those 9 categories, not every soldier comes in like that, but they're trained to be like that. A few weeks ago, I was watching Foxtel, I think, and it had how they train the US SEALs, the elite group of people. You know, they take them 10 or 15 Ks out in the sea and just drop them, and they got to swim back in. They lock them in a little box and just see how long they can stay there without getting crazy. And they put them on long runs, you know, go for a 50K run with a backpack on. And they're just trying to work out what their breaking point is. And when they get to a breaking point, they can break through that again, and just testing their durability. But I just want to be an ordinary soldier, okay? The SEALs, we'll get there. But let's look at this more in our terms. And often people have asked me this as you read the Bible, the Old Testament. They'll just say, you know, why in the Old Testament does God document so many battles? And if you read, you know, Joshua, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, in all those kind of categories, there's kind of battles that are going on. So in the Old Testament, speaks about the documented battles. In the New Testament, again, God speaks about soldiers. In the Old Testament, listen to this, the battles were real, they were physical. They were for lands and to possess and to hold what they have. Israel had to take the promised land by battle. They had to take it by force. Even though God said it's yours, they had to go in battle formation and possess what God had already given to them. Now, if that is true, the blessings and the promises that God has for you, expect a battle to possess them. Just don't sit back and say, yeah, I'm going to put, no, submit it to God. Say, God, go before me. God, prepare the way. God, I'm believing that you're going to lead me and guide me by your power and by your spirit. So the Old Testament was for land and possession of the promises that God had for them. In the New Testament, the battle is real, but it's spiritual. What is the New Testament battle? It's spiritual. Yeah. Remember when Jesus was about to go to the cross, Peter picks up a sword and he cuts off someone's ears. And Jesus says, hey, put it away. We're not into that battle. We're into spiritual battles. Am I saying I'm against fighting? No, I'm okay. But Jesus said, hey, the kingdom of God is not about that. The kingdom of God is about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So what is the battle today? Hey, I just believe the battle today. Yeah, it could be about a promise that God said to give you a house, you know, that you'll have a house. So it could be physical. But I just believe that many times it's for your destiny. Many are called, few are chosen. What does that mean? That God's got a call for you. He's got a plan for you. But sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we get worn down and we give up on the destiny. The battle is for the souls of men and women. Why is it sometimes you're trying to tell someone about Jesus and they just don't get it? Because there's a principalities and powers that are blinding their eyes, deafening their ears to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So maybe before we witness or as we witness, you say, God, go before me. Open their eyes, open their ears as I plant this seed that their lives can be changed.
Thank you for listening to part one of this message.